Would you call the roll?
Representative Stutes.
Here.
Representative Keller.
He's here. He'll be in shortly.
Representative Vasquez.
Excused.
Representative Grunberg.
Present.
Representative Christ Tompkins.
Excused.
He's excused.
And he's online.
And he is online, I'm told.
Representative Tallarico.
Here.
I am here. Okay, good morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee this morning will be considering HB 68 and HB 93, and we're going to begin with HB 68. If the presenter will please come forward for HB 68, that's Christ Tompkins. He's online, I guess. Is anybody in the room to testify?
Yes.
Well, I just presented to Brother me. We see his representatives online, okay? Okay, identify yourself and let's begin.
Good morning. My name is Barrett Wilbur.
Move your microphone closer, please.
Okay.
What then?
We'll raise the level, please.
They can control the volume over there, so okay. They kick it up.
Good morning. My name is Barrett Wilbur. And I'm here to testify to HB 68, I guess. Or just to answer questions, sorry.
Okay. Any questions so far?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Grunberg.
Do you want a motion?
Yes, we better do that. Would you give me a motion, please, to adopt the CS?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And I hope somebody will object so Representative Christ Tompkins can explain this. I move the for consideration the H version of House Bill 68, proposed committee substitute, Work Order 352/H.
Ready? Any objection for discussion?
Mr. Chair, I object for purpose of discussion. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Representative Clive Thompson, are you on your line?
I'm here, Representative West.
We miss you, but tell us about your bill.
Okay. I gave a brief overview of the bill in previous week's committee. And this new bill, the committee substitute, which Representative Grunberg just mentioned, incorporates suggestions from Representative Keller and myself and Barrett and Jim, after Representative Keller and I worked together to incorporate these suggestions into a revised CS. And the sum of the changes is basically that if anyone wants to get hard copy records from the state library, he or she can do so free of charge within reasonable limits. And this is sort of a change from the status quo. This changes the law that's presently on the books. So we talk to the state library system, and they get about 50 requests ten requests for state reports every year, and they print them off and send them up to people around the state. And especially with the sort of coming digitization of state documents and state records, and we figured that it would be nice to make access even easier to these kinds of records, and this was the thinking of Representative Keller and Jim Towns. And so we removed any cost to the citizen who'd want to get one of these records. And so that 10 documents per year, the estimated cost of this change is somewhere between $50 and $150 after talking with the state librarian. And seems like a pittance relative to the $500,000 or so that the House bill is projected to save. But seems like a reasonable compromise in preserving and really enhancing access to public documents.
Any questions for the sponsor? Representative Keller.
Yeah, Representative Christ Thompson, thank you. Tompkins, thank you for your willingness to work on the bill. I really, really appreciate it. And I do have a question. We just got this CS, and just as we walked into committee, and so what I guess there's one section that has me squirming just a touch, and I would like to have your comments on it to see what you think, or if you know about it, because I don't think we've had a chance to discuss this at all. But on page 3, Line 16, this is the new section, and I haven't even had time to compare if this new section was in version H or not, but the end of line 17 and the beginning of 18, it fulfills any obligation in state law to publish, prepare, or present a report in electronic distribution. Fulfills any obligation in state law to submit a report. And I'm just wondering about the scope of that, and the reason that I'm wondering is I think it includes current posting requirements for regulation changes that must go in the newspaper at this point. But my real question is, do you know the scope of other things like that that we may be affecting? And I think maybe it's a good idea to eliminate that, as long as we have a clear reporting system that is well understood. I mean, I'm not saying that we should keep that in the newspaper, but question is, do you know the scope of what that affects, and does it affect the requirement to post notifications on regulations?
Reverend Craig Tompkins.
Representative Taylor, through the Sheriff's Director, this is Representative Trace Tompkins, and I have to confess I'm sitting in a heated truck in Kochi right now and don't have a copy of this yet in front of me. It's been a little bit tricky even finding cell service here, so I'd have to defer to Barrett on my staff who's standing by the committee.
Okay. Did that answer the question?
No, but I'm a little hesitant here because I'm not trying to slow down the bill. I think it's a good bill, but I really wonder if we shouldn't wait, just one more jog here to make sure we understand what we're doing before we pass this on.
Any comment on that? Reverend Stutes?
No.
Okay, so you're saying we should hold the bill until you check that out? I'm happy to either pass it or to hold it, either one. It makes no difference to me.
Mr. Chair, I'm willing to go either way. Representative Christ Tompkins, do you have a problem if we wait another session, or are you eager to get this out today?
I think waiting until Thursday could be fine. Although before we do, it's quite possible that Barrett, who's in the committee room right now, might be able to speak this language. And I don't have a copy of the bill in front of me, but she may be familiar with the language.
Before you respond, I just want to say I apologize that I didn't talk to you before committee, but I just now was aware of it. I didn't mean to hit you with this. That's the hot seat. It's hard when you get something like that. Go ahead.
Do you have any comment on that?
Representative Keller, through the chair. That's perfectly fine. I admit I don't believe that regulations fall under the definition of agency reports, but I'm not sure, and I would like to check before we make definitive action.
Okay. Any other comment? Do you know what we're talking about here? Reverend Keller had a comment. Okay.
I'm okay.
You okay? We have for questions, Linda Thibodeau, for questions, any comments or questions, what you've heard so far? Okay, anybody else online like to testify? Anybody in the room would like to testify? We're going to close public testimony. I have no problem either passing the bill or holding the bill, but if you'd like to hold the bill, it'd be fine to me because we're so early in the session. And I don't think it would jeopardize the journey of the bill, to be honest. So, with the concurrence of the rest of the committee, we can hold the bill. But first, did you have a comment, Reverend Stutes or Tallarico?
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to suggest that until that particular paragraph is clarified, we might want to hold it.
Okay. That's fine, then. With the concurrence of the committee and of the sponsor, for that matter, we're going to hold this bill and we'll bring it back before us at the earliest opportunity. Thank you very much for
Mr. Chair.
Reverend Greenberg.
I would ask that objection be removed for the adoption of the H version so we can have that in front of us.
I remove the objection.
Very good. Good catch. Thank you very much for coming before us. Sponsor, please come forward. Guess that's the yellow here. There we go. Good morning. Thank you for bringing this bill before. Please identify yourself and tell us what the bill is all about.
Great. Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the record, and committee members. For the record, my name is Kathy Tilton, and I am pleased to present to you HB 93, which is relating to the duties of the probation officers and the conditions of parole. A 2013 ADN article indicated that Alaska has the nation's highest rate of recidivism. According to the Department of Corrections, we are seeing more probationers successfully complete their court-ordered release from 48% in 2011 to 66% in 2014.
Is this volume up as high as it can be? I do have a hearing aid this morning, but it seems like very difficult to hear.
I can talk louder.
Am I the only one?
No, let's turn up a little bit.
All right. I can talk louder, too.
Talk louder.
Okay. This is a trend we're building on with HP 93, which is a continuation of the Smart Justice efforts. It is in the public's best interest that probationers find gainful employment and reestablish themselves. Experts, such as the Partners for Progress, identify employment as one of the three components most needed to keep a probationer from reoffending. The other two are housing and the social services, such as rehabilitation and therapy. Although employment can be difficult, as we know, few employers are willing to hire someone with a record. A study of the Urban Institute showed that just 12.5% of employers said that they would definitely accept an applicant with a criminal record. Once a probationer does get a job, their work schedules and the required probation reporting appointments sometimes fall into the same time frames. HB 93 makes it clear that the duties of the probation officer include accommodating the diligent efforts of probationers to keep their gainful employment when it comes to setting their appointment. HB 93 also allows the probationer reasonable travel within the state when it is in conflict with other, when it's not in conflict with other terms of their conditions of their probation. Sometimes when we're finding employment, as we know, Alaska is a very large state, and the employment may be on a platform in Cook Inlet or mining camps or fishing boats, so it does require some travel. HB 93 ensures that the probationer can travel as long as it's not inconsistent with the terms of their probation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My staff, Suzanne, is here, and she can go over the section as if you'd like.
Yeah, I think she can go over section by section, I think, at this point. Thank you very much. Please do that and speak loudly or something here.
I will speak as loudly as I can here.
Yes,
good morning. My name is Suzanne Downing, and thank you for your time. As stated, the purpose of HB 93 is to improve probation success rates and improve public safety and reduce the return of people to prison or jail. And I just would like to, at this time, thank the Department of Corrections, the Alaska Court System, and the Public Defender for their assistance on this bill. The sections are quite simple and make small changes to existing statute and really reinforce best practices. Section 1 says that among the duties of a probation officer is to accommodate the work schedule of their assigned probationers as they secure and maintain employment. So in making appointments, they take into consideration the work schedules, and that probationers may travel in-state for work if that travel is not inconsistent with the terms of their probation. Section 2 is simply conforming language to amend AS 3316150 to read that as a condition of parole, parolees should be able to travel in-state for work or to make diligent efforts to secure work, again, so long as that travel is not contrary to conditions of their parole. And Section 3, again, similar conforming language, and that was suggested to make sure that the statute is consistent throughout. Other changes in the bill are simply grammatical. And with that, I'm ready to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The sponsor and her staff spoke with me a couple of minutes ago, and I had two questions. One I'm still trying to figure out, and it is a particular word on page 2, line 28. It's the word accommodate.
Mr. Chair, could we just clarify for the public that we're on version W, that's a working document from the committee? Thank you.
The original bill, yeah. And that's correct. And I'm not sure.
Is he on line 28?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Page 2, line 28. The phrase there is a little bit awkward, and I'm not sure that accommodates the best word. I'm trying to look it up in Roget's as we're here, and I haven't gotten very far.
What is the word?
It's the word accommodate. Page 2, line 28, Mr. Chair.
To accommodate a diligent effort.
And I don't necessarily have a better word at the moment. I note this is the only committee this doesn't go to judiciary, at least at the moment here. I'm just sort of raising that. And the three of us have talked, and I know we're trying to work together on this. And that's just an issue I saw. The amendment that I have, and this is, I think, with the okay of the sponsor, is a grammatical amendment. It's on page 4.
Well, before we go to that, did anybody else have a problem with the word accommodate? Can you think of a better word?
Maybe we come back to that or whatever. I don't.
Yeah, let's come back to that. Yeah. There's no amendment on accommodate.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
The other one I do, it's on page 4, line 30 and 31. I think the word only should not go where it is, but it should go between employment and if, so that the line would read, refrain from traveling in the state to make diligence efforts to secure and maintain steady employment only if the travel violates other conditions of parole. And I think that grammatically goes there better. And I would ask through the chair if the sponsor is okay with the amendment.
Is the sponsor okay with the amendment?
Mr. Chairman.
Potential amendment.
Mr. Chairman, yes, I am okay with the potential amendment.
Because we don't have an amendment yet. He just explained.
But I offered the amendment.
Any other comment before you offer the amendment? Okay. You may offer the amendment.
Should that be labeled, Madam Secretary, Amendment 1?
Amendment 1.
I'd offer the amendment to ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? If not, Amendment 1 passes.
And I would just say, Mr. Chair, I think this is a very good bill.
Thank you. Yeah. Representative Gruenberg, through the chair.
We have several people here to testify. These are for questions only. Let me ask if you have any. I have before us Ed Webster. Any comments? Department of Corrections. Carrie Baldea, Department of Probation and Parole. Any comments or questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
No, in reviewing this, I do like this bill, and the Department of Corrections does very much support employment, and we want to continue to have our successful completion raise and rise and our recidivism decrease. My only concern is if he is right now do try to accommodate for work and do try to sit down and work with employers and help the probationers get jobs, because, you know, when they have jobs, we consider that a protective factor, which, you know, helps with income, it helps keep them busy, we know where they're at, there's more accountability, it's employment is a wonderful thing, but my only concern is that that section 3, I believe it is, might box in the PO a little bit, because they might, the POSF caseloads have treatment meetings, court hearings, other office visits and stuff. And my only concern is that the wording might box them into where they can't get a travel pass out in time because they don't know about it in a timely manner. Or they might have to delay a travel pass a little bit just to work out victim issues, treatment issues, or any other issues like that, and my concern is that might box them in. I do like the bill, though.
Representative Keller.
Just a clarification. Maybe I just didn't quite follow, but what page and line and what section are you concerned with? I think you said three. I don't know what you mean.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the I'm looking at the 30 and 31 on page 4. I think we just amended that, which makes it a little better. I just have concerns that that might be a little bit strict for the PO with other issues going on in the case.
Thanks. Thank you. Reverend Greenberg.
Mr. Chair, I think I see what you're saying. What you're saying, Ms. Baldia, through the chair, is that there might be other reasons that could cause the board to deny a travel request other than a violation of condition of parole. Am I right that you're thinking there might be other reasons? Is that right?
Correct.
Through the chair, may I continue? Madam, do you have any suggested language or concept? And I think what you're saying may be, knowing how the Department of Corrections operates, they're very much by the book, and we don't want to put them in a situation where, in a situation that might come up that we don't foresee, there might be another reason to issue such an order. Do you have any thoughts on the wording or the concept, or do you want a little more time to think about it? I don't want to see you guys hamstrung, because this is the only committee this bill goes to.
Through the chair, I really do not at this time.
Is that it? Reverend Keller?
I don't know that she's finished. I think she's thinking.
Are you still online?
Through the chair, yes, I am. I'm just trying to think really quickly about how this would maybe better be phrased.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Reverend Greenberg.
Ma'am, I think we have other witnesses. Maybe with the indulgence of the chair, we could come back to you, give you a little more time to think while we take some other witnesses.
Well, I don't know that many. As folks here for question one, but I will ask, stand by if you can, Ms. Baldia. Quinlan Steiner, are you there?
I think Suzanne has a question.
Chairman. This is Quinlan Steiner. I'm the public defender for the state of Alaska. Here, mostly to answer any questions, but I do think the bill, as drafted, will promote employment, which is key for success on parole and probation. The data shows that good employment really is sort of the bedrock for success. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Steiner? Reverend Greenberg.
Mr. Chair, I would ask you if you, I know that you understand what Ms. Baldia was just saying. Do you have any thoughts on how we could accommodate that?
I think I understand the concern. I'd have to get a more detailed explanation of the mechanism of how, where that would come up, or how it would come up before I could sort of craft a solution. I don't know that it would definitely box the PO in, but I think I understand the view of how it might, but I'd have to sort of get more detail to come up with an opinion on exactly if that's a problem or how it could be fixed.
Okay. Let's go back to Ms. Baldin. Did you have any more thought on what we were talking about?
She just dropped off the line.
She's not online anymore?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Reverend Greenberg.
I think Ms. Downing wanted to say something on that point.
Yes, please.
Thank you. To just address that concern through the chair, I believe the language in the statute really gives quite a bit of leeway to probation and parole officers and the Board of Parole by using the word may. And the word may is used throughout. It's not shall, it's may. There's a lot of discretion, and maybe Mr. Steiner could help me with that, but there's a lot of discretion in this statute for their own discernment, because they know they will eventually know best what's best for that probationer.
So basically, it's a guidance bill.
It's a guidance bill. Thank you.
As well as everything else. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Greenberg.
Thank you. I would agree with you generally, through the chair, but because in the new Section 12, it very much limits the board's discretion. The only reason that it's permitted to not allow the parolee to travel is, quote, if the travel violates other conditions of parole. And I think what she's getting at is, and she didn't really totally articulate it before she dropped off the line. Maybe she's going to get back on the line, I hope. Is she back?
Yes.
Oh, she's back. Okay. Was because there was some feeling with her that there may be something that technically wouldn't violate a condition of parole, but might be a very good reason for the board to not allow the parolee to travel. And if she's on the line, maybe she can confirm what she means. I don't know.
Yes. Ms. Baldi, are you back online?
Through the chair, yes, I am. Sorry, I got disconnected. My apologies.
No problem. Did you hear Representative Greenberg's comment? Did you have any other thoughts on this particular part of the bill? We're getting ready to close public testimony in just a couple of minutes.
Maybe if we put on the end of it, and it was approved by the probation officer, just because the PO would know exactly what's going on in that case, and if there are any issues in treatment that this might hamper, or any issues, victim issues, or location issues to where that person is going on that travel passport.
Okay. Any comments, questions to her? Thank you very much. Anybody else online you'd like to testify? Anybody in the audience who'd like to testify? If not, then we'll close public testimony and bring it to the committee. I'm very happy with the intent and the language of the bill, pretty much as is. A parolee, any parolee, has a very difficult time with their parole. And if you're not employed, it's even more difficult and more chance for recidivism. And we should do, if a person is employed, we should do everything we can to keep that person gainfully employed. And the condition of the parole or the way the parole officer works has to mesh with, or should mesh as far as with the work needs of the parolee. And so I feel very good about this. And any other comments from the committee? The representative and Vice Chair Greenberg. No, you're not promoted. But Vice Chair Keller.
I stand demoted.
Yeah, you promoted seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I really commend the sponsor for bringing this forward. It's great. It's a really good bill. I just want to point out that it's completely consistent with where we've been going. The Justice Commission is really concerned and interested in the transition of prisoners back into society, and as the public defender Quinlan just said, this will promote the employment. That's a key part. You hit right on. It's really, really good, and I thank you. I just would like to comment, and I want us to move this bill today. I think it's really good the way it's written. But I want to comment that it's an opportunity here for corrections and for the parole board and for the public defender's office and everybody concerned to look at this section of law, the whole section of law, from a little broader distance and just consider whether there's other things in there that we could do to enhance the work of the Justice Commission as this bill moves forward. I realize it goes from here to the floor, and I think it's ready to go. I think it's fine just the way it is. But, you know, in the process, I just want to challenge the various players to it isn't every day you get the section of the law open, you know, so vetting on maybe other suggestions as it goes would be great. So thank you,
Representative Keller, through the chair. Thank you, appreciate your comments.
Any other comments from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Greenberg.
Sometimes it's the role of the minority to raise or make sure that more difficult issues are properly vetted. I support the bill a lot, and I'm not seeking to delay it. I am a little bit concerned on the merits that there is what may be a valid concern by the Department of Corrections on this. I would think that a day or so to massage that language before it goes to the floor may either avoid having to do a floor amendment or more of a delay yet bringing a bill back from concurrence from the Senate. And I'm wondering if the chair, let me just ask, if I may ask Ms. Baldacci one more question, please, sir.
Are you still online? Is she still online?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Representative Greenberg has a final question for you.
If it were agreeable with the chair, do you think you could craft the language you need with the sponsor's help, and I'd be willing to help too if you want, to come up with something that we could deal with maybe on Thursday very briefly and cure your problem before the bill moves? Do you think you could do that?
Absolutely, and I really do support this bill. I think it's fantastic that that employment is such a protective factor and such a wonderful thing and really promotes success. So we absolutely want to make this bill something that Department of Corrections has a little bit of flexibility within the caseload to still keep public safe and then accomplish what we need to accomplish with employment. So I will go ahead and be available as much as I can.
Mr. Chair.
One more.
I would just ask with that if the chair and the bill sponsor would be willing to let us have another day to look at that. And I'll make this a priority.
Well,
it doesn't go anywhere except to the floor.
I guess comments the rest of the committee. I'm personally ready to move the bill. Any comments from the rest of the committee?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Vice Chair Keller.
I'm comfortable with the sponsor's explanation. This is permissive language. It is not a directive. And I'm also comfortable with the fact that this will not rise to the to the level of their justifying a floor amendment, but that the process is not over once it passes the floor. And I would just I think it's ready to go.
Mr. Chair.
Reverend Greenberg.
I would ask the bill sponsor, through the chair, if she would have a problem with taking another day to look at this.
Well, Reverend Greenberg, I think the place where the committee needs to make a decision, the sponsor has explained the bill. We've heard from other folks, and I think we're back to the committee at this point. I don't want to place all the responsibility on the sponsor. She doesn't have control of the bill this time. The committee does.
I realize that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would think in light of all the contributors to this bill and the review of it and the explanations that this bill is ready to move forward.
Bill what?
That this bill is ready to move forward.
Okay. Reverend Talarico, any comments?
I'm comfortable with moving the bill as well.
I'll entertain a motion to move the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 93, LS 0404/W, out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal clause.
Okay. Without objection?
No, Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenberg?
I am going to object just because I think that something needs to be done to look at this. We're early in the session. This is the only place this bill goes. We have very few bills from correction. This is something that the department that's going to be charged with enforcing this has a legitimate concern. It's not going to do any problem with the bill. And frankly, if this becomes a floor amendment, it won't have the kind of debate and consideration it will have in this committee. And if it comes back with an amendment from the Senate, this committee will not have a chance to look at it. This may be the only chance this committee has to take 24 hours to look at a major concern of the department. I don't think there's that much of a rush, and I would ask the courtesy that we allow 24 hours for that to occur. So I'm going to object, and I would ask if the motion would be withdrawn, because this is an important issue. I don't object very often.
No, you don't. Representative Kelly.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, I would like to ask Ms. Baldia if she...
You'd like to ask who?
The, is it... Baldia. Corrections, whoever, that if this rises to a major concern, as it has been characterized, and if so, please explain. If you're on record, if Mr. Chair, we can go back to the public testimony.
Yeah,
it's your call.
We'll go back to public testimony. Do you have a person you'd like to address your question to?
Wasn't it you that just commented that you would work on language? And I think it was you from the Director of Probation and Parole. And I just want to ask you if this is a major concern or not. That's what it was just characterized as, and it's before the committee for action. And if your concern raises to a major concern, then we probably should pay attention.
Did you hear that?
Yes, David here. Would it be okay just to put on the end of it, and is approved by the department, for that travel pass as a simple amendment such as that?
Mr. Chair?
Reverend Greenberg.
Yeah, I would be agreeable to doing that if it's agreeable with the committee, as a conceptual amendment, so that the department and the sponsor can work with the staff on that, and I'll be happy to participate if you wish. But if the motion could be withdrawn, I'll make that conceptual amendment.
What's the wish of the maker of the motion?
Before I withdraw my motion, I would like to ask a clarification on what you're actually suggesting, if you would be real specific. I know it's conceptual, but we want to understand what it is. Is at the very end of the bill, after the word parole, you're going to add what, for the record?
And is approved by the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
That would allow that if there's any victim issues or any treatment issues that are kind of brewing but yet not quite putting the person in technical violation for return to jail or something like that, that those issues could be worked out along with the travel pass or prior to the travel pass, which might possibly delay the travel pass. But for the most part, the department and the POs really, really do try and work with the probationary employees to get them employed and on those travel passes. This is just kind of for the rare exception and the really complex cases where there's a lot going on and maybe a travel pass at that moment might not be the best idea.
Mr. Chair, with that, I will retract my motion to move the
Would you want to make a conceptual amendment, what you just said?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would make a conceptual amendment that after the word parole, that it's at the discretion of the department conceptually. So I move amendment number two.
Okay. You move the amendment. Any objection to the amendment? Amendment passes. Would you like to make a new motion to the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to move HB 93 version LS0404W as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Any objection?
Mr. Chair.
Reverend Greenberg.
I do not object, and I appreciate everybody working on this to do what needs to be done, and I want to thank the Vice Chair and the rest of you.
Yeah, thank you. With that, the bill moves without objection. Congratulations. We have
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
They are calendar for Thursday, February 19th, is to hear HB 106 about uniform inter-child support parentage. And the second one, I can't read, but we'll hear it. We are adjourned.